welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. We're really excited today. We have a new actress for Hallmark Channel today that we're talking with. And we have Nazneen Contractor here. And Nazneen, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me.
Yeah, this is so great to get to meet you. And what we've been doing these last few months has been asking our guests how they've been handling this crazy time of quarantine. What has your experience been like? Have you been doing any quarantine baking or anything like that?
I have definitely been doing a lot of quarantine eating and a lot of quarantine cooking.
Yeah.
And a lot of, you know, we live in Los Angeles, so a lot of quarantine swimming in our pool and, you know, just a lot of hanging at home. We have two little kids. So, you know, luckily we have a pool and a trampoline. So we sort of like just make it our home / school / playground / restaurant. Like it's just sort of, we're very lucky. We have a nice place to hang out.
Yeah, that is, I am jealous, especially about the pool, because I love to swim. I missed that.
Best.
I haven't been able to swim for quite a while, so that's really cool. That sounds really nice, actually.
It is. It's been nice. It's been like a little bit of Groundhog Day, like, you know, go for actually like do our homeschooling with our son, and then at 3 o'clock it's like pool time and cocktail hour.
Yeah,
3 o'clock in the afternoon, people. And then it's like 5 o'clock dinner and everyone's in bed by 7:30. Like, it's like literally like, you know, these days don't need to be any longer than that.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. We have all the excitement that we need these days. We don't need any more in our personal lives.
Totally.
Why don't you introduce yourself a little to us and tell us how you got into acting?
Sure. So, I was born in India. And I grew up in Africa and London, and then I came to Canada when I was almost 7 to Toronto. And I always loved performing. Like, since I was a little kid, I was the kid that put on shows with their toys and, you know, wanted to perform for neighbors and my parents, anyone who would listen to me, anyone who would give me a platform, I'd get up on stage and did the school plays and did all of that stuff. And then I don't know how I ended up, but I ended up taking a ballet class when I was about 10, and I was really good at it. And my teachers really encouraged me to pursue it. So I danced for about 7 years, like 10 times a week, like a lot. I was going to a performing arts high school a la fame, and I was dancing at a studio, and I was competing, and I was teaching, but it never really felt like I loved being on stage and I love performing, but I never felt entirely fulfilled by that. And so when I was about 16, I told my parents I didn't want to dance anymore and I wanted to be an actor. And I switched majors at my high school from dance to drama, and I got an agent, and it just sort of snowballed from there. I started doing some television, then I spent some time doing some Shakespearean rep theater at this company called Stratford in Canada. And then I moved to Los Angeles and, you know, I've managed to make a go of it. Consider myself really fortunate and very, very lucky that I get to do something that I love.
That's great. Do you remember your first role that you ever got?
Yeah. So one of the first role on television I got was in a sci-fi show called Star Hunter. I played this alien from out of space that, like, everyone thinks is evil, but it's actually like a young girl who's just lost her home and wants to find a home, and it causes destruction inadvertently. And we filmed it in New Brunswick, which is a maritime province. So it was a big deal because it was my first job and I had to go away from home. And I loved it. I loved it. And I was so lucky that everyone was so patient and understanding, because I knew nothing about acting on camera or hitting your mark or finding your light, or, you know, I knew very, very little. So I had a lot of people who were very supportive, and it was just, I just instantly fell in love with it. I came back being like, yep, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life, God willing.
Yeah, that's great. So you're able to kind of learn as you went along, as your training, kind of your training ground.
Exactly. Yeah. I think always the best classroom is the stage and on set. And then, you know, I married another actor. I think the second job I ever had was with Carlo Rota, my husband. Of course, I was very young. I met him then, and then I met him again 6 years later, and we got together. But, you know, being with another actor, you get, you know, I have an advantage. We talk about our scenes. We help each other with our auditions. We talk about our time on set. So, you know, our work is very much ingrained in our life and our relationship.
Yeah. Well, maybe next time, maybe you get to do someday do a Hallmark movie together. That would be fun.
Oh my God, that would be so much fun. I would. Yeah. We just did another movie together.
Oh really?
He's actually still working on an action film. We have worked together in the past, and we always really like it. We're very comfortable with each other on set, and very respectful of each other's process.
Yeah. Well, I've heard that they are doing that more and more with these romantic movies, because it just, with COVID and everything, it just takes away one more risk in a, if you have a couple that's
absolutely
starring. So who knows, that would be fun.
That would definitely be a fun thing to do, and then the whole family would have to come.
Yeah There we go. Well, you were on 24, which is a show I loved, and what was that experience like?
So 24 was my first job in LA. I moved to LA in 2008, and I booked that job. I moved to LA at the end of 2008, like the end of November. Uh-huh. And I booked that job in April. And that was my year in LA, and that was my first year. And it was amazing, because I too was a huge fan of the show. Like, my mom and dad loved that show. My husband was on that show as well. He played Morris O'Brien. He wasn't in my season. He's Morris. He's Chloe's ex. So he wasn't in that. He wasn't in season 8, unfortunately. But I was very lucky, because I got onto that season and everyone knew Carlo. And so, you know, they're already such a tight-knit family, and was such a well-oiled machine by the time season 8 came around. But I feel like, you know, the doors were all open for me, because they all knew me. And on top of that, one of my second gig was with Mylon Chaloff, who's a Canadian director. There are a lot of Canadians on 24. Brad Turner, who I just did a movie with, was the executive producer and director my season. Mylon Chaloff directed a show that I did when I was like 17 years old called Street Time. He was a producer and director on that season. So they all knew me from before. So it felt like, you know, something brand new and really exciting, but it also felt really familiar and safe. So I really feel like it was like a wonderful introduction to working in the States. It was fantastic.
Well, yeah, especially if you're going to be doing any kind of action material. There was no better show, in my opinion. I think that 24 rivals, if not surpasses, most Hollywood action movies. As far as it's so well done. I it was the best show to binge watch. It still is, I think, the best show to binge watch, because it just, every episode left you on such a cliffhanger. You're like, what is gonna happen? I need to know now.
and the idea of that ticking clock and 24 episodes, and like, it was just ingenious, you know. Joel Cerno, who created the show, I mean, it really was a feat on his behalf, because it was the best. Yeah, it was, if it was made now, it would go on for like, it already went on for 9 seasons, but like, you know, it would just go on for like, if it was introduced now, people would go crazy for it. They wouldn't be able to get the seasons out fast enough.
Agreed. And they had such great talent on that show. Cherry Jones and
Jones
on season 8
is a dream.
Yeah.
No, she was my president on season 8. Are you kidding me? She was totally in season 8. Yeah. I was in awe of her. And she's like
so
the most down to earth, sweet Southern gal you will ever meet in your life. Like, you would, and then It's action and the camera's on her and she is incredible.
Yeah, she's so good. And that season, Freddie Prinze Jr. was on, right?
Yeah, he was also on it. That's right.
Yep. And I don't remember if Jean Smart was on that season or not. I think maybe.
No, I don't think Jean was on that. No, Jean wasn't in that season, but she's also amazing.
Yeah, she was brilliant on 24. I mean,
brilliant.
Because the people were used to seeing her as a comedic actress, or at least I was. And then to see her on 24 was unbelievable. And that was such a great show.
That show really, like, so many, like Jean Smart, Shorey Aghlaidashu, like they all got Emmy nominations. I mean, Shorey won. Like, it really did showcase, like, it really, especially even though it's like an action male movie, it really did have some fantastic, not movie, you know, an action led male television series. It really had some phenomenal roles for women in it. Like they really, really, really did. And they were groundbreaking, right?
Yeah.
They had the first black president. They had the first female president. They really they really pushed the limits of our society in that way. I loved it. Yeah. I loved it.
I agree. All right. Well, you do some voice acting. I saw on your IMDb. And I'm a huge animation fan. And so my first love is animation and then Hallmark movies. And I was just wondering kind of what your process is for doing that, for coming up with a voice, for recording, for all that.
You know, I have to say that the voice part of my career is probably, weirdly, it's like, it's almost more fulfilling than the on-camera stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the process, because it is so freeing. You know, you don't have to worry about what you look like, what shape your face is making, what your hands are doing. You're just creating this voice. And it's so liberating, and there's so much artistic room to grow and develop and try and fail. And it's a very, very organic process. It really is, because often they have, you know, when I do cartoons, like they'll have definitely a drawing of what my character looks like, but then they're often either drawing me while I'm voicing it, or in the case of Star Wars, filming me while I'm voicing it to use my expressions for the character. Mm-hmm. You know, my facial expressions and stuff like that. So it's very technical, but when I go into that room or when I go into that booth, I just feel so alive. And I'm sometimes alone in a booth, and I can be in Budapest or I can be in Canada. I've done remote recordings from all over the place, and I'll be on Zoom with someone or on Skype with someone, but I still feel like it's so weird. It's like this amazing way of connecting. And then when you see the final project, like my mind is blown. Like, I can't even believe sometimes that I'm a part of something like that. I'm like, what? Because the voice is just one small ingredient to this entire technical process. And I also love animation. Like, I love it.
Yeah.
You know, I loved it when I was a kid. I love it as an adult. So for me, to get to do things like Stretch Armstrong and the Flex Fighters and, you know, Star Wars.
Yeah.
And then I've done some like Mickey Mouse Roadhouse stuff. And I just did a new show for Apple, called The Zen Diaries, about this turtle who teaches like Zen stuff to children. And my son knew about it. So, you know, for me to be able to sort of jump around and play with accents and play with my tone of voice, it's just, it's so freeing. Like, I love it. I absolutely love it.
That's really cool. I agree. I love it too. And I just feel like it's the most artistic medium of film, because it literally is art. It literally is people's drawings.
Totally.
I realize that photography is also art, but just, it's literally someone's drawings and the worlds that you can create and the things that you can do. And I love animation, and I think the voice actors don't get near enough credit for all that they do and their incredible talents. And especially, it must be just thrilling to be part of a franchise like Star Wars that's so iconic. It must be really great.
Yeah, it was so cool. It really was. And, you know, it's so funny because they are so talented. And so when I ever am in the room doing group recordings, I feel so small because they're so good.
Yeah.
They're so good. And here I am. I'm just like, well, I'm just acting. You know, I don't even know what I'm doing. But these people can do like crazy things with their voice for so long. It's so technical. It's an instrument, right?
Oh,
it really is. And then, but the most fun I have in voice stuff is like, you know, you often do your character and then they'll have you do like one small character and then some, what they call walla stuff, like crowd stuff. And then you get to make up all these different voices. So like on Star Wars, we could go as crazy as we wanted. They're like, we need an alien voice. You'd be like, you can all of a sudden do that. Like, you know, it's like being a child, you know, like you, any, no matter how, like the more outside of the box you think, the better, right?
Yeah.
And you know, you just start laughing and cracking each other up. And yeah, it's just, it's a lot of fun. It's like, it's almost criminal that I'm paid. I shouldn't say that, but it is, it is like, it's just, so I would, I shouldn't advertise, but I would do it for free, but you know, it's too fun.
Right. That's great. Yeah. I bet it's such a creative group of people, such a creative medium. And have you ended up recording any in at home with the lockdown?
With the, you know what? I've been really lucky. So, you know, voice is like one of the few things you can do in COVID, because often there are studios there where the booth is completely separate from the engineer. So, you know, I just did, I just started a new anime show. And it's based out of LA, but I'm currently in Canada shooting something. And I did it out of a studio in Toronto that was able to follow the protocols. You know, you just come in wearing a mask, you're alone in the room anyways, you're connected via Source Connect. Yeah. The engineer is in another room with glass in between you. Sometimes there's no glass, but often there's glass. And, and then you just do it. So it was actually like the one thing that could keep going. And, you know, you're just getting better quality sound at the end of the day. So it's always better to do it in a studio. But I do all my auditions at home on my phone, the way I'm talking to you right now.
Because I know some people record in their closets. They create I've seen that.
Yeah, totally.
Some voice actors.
Yeah. I'm very lo-fi when it comes to my voice acting.
Uh-huh.
It's quite shameful, actually.
That's great.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
All right. So tell us a little bit about your new movie, The Christmas Ring. Tell us about the film and in your role.
Sure. So The Christmas Ring is such a sweet, warm, beautiful story. I play Kendra Adams, a journalist, and Kendra is constantly on the search for her mother's engagement ring, which was lost a few years ago. And so she's constantly going to antique markets, and she goes to this antique market one day and she finds this ring that looks exactly like her mother's ring, except the fact that it's not. It has this very unique inscription inside, "Forever My Christmas Love, 1947. So she decides to go on assignment to find out the love story behind this ring. And it takes her to this very small, beautiful, charming town. And with the help of the ring's owner's grandson, Michael, played by David Alpay, they uncover the mystery and the legacy of their grandparents' relationship and the sacrifices that they had to make to actualize their dreams and to be together. And it ends up being this incredible story that brings the town together and people together and reconnects them with their past and their true identities and or puts them on the right path to what they really want to do. It's very inspirational. It's so sweet.
That sounds really sweet.
Yeah.
So you were working with David Alpay. That must have been fun.
He's great. He's also, we're both dual citizens. We're both Canadian and American. So we had that in common. And it's weird because it's actually a very small industry in Canada. But it's weird that we hadn't worked together as of yet. So it was lovely to work with him. And he's a sort of a Hallmark veteran. So he was very kind and, you know, showing me the ropes and making me feel very at home and very at ease. And he's lovely. He's like a wonderful, wonderful actor. So it made it really easy and fun.
Yeah, we're so excited to have him back because he hadn't done a movie in a little bit since 2000. It had been 2 years since he had done a Hallmark movie. So we're like, yay.
Go. Yeah,
back
no, he's
to the
great.
Fold. but yeah, that sounds like it will have like a little bit of sort of following the mystery behind as you get the kind of the clues sort of for the ring.
It is. It's a really, and you know, even when I was reading the script, like I didn't even know where the mystery was going. You know, I didn't realize all the little pieces. It's actually a very good little Sherlock Holmes piece of finding evidence, finding clues, putting together the story. And then of course there's another love story brewing in the whole process, of course. And sort of figuring out not only Kendra's journey on figuring out the story that she wants to write, but her journey in following her heart, which is also a really big part of it. So it was fun to play both sides of it.
That sounds really good. I'm excited about it. So when did you shoot this? Was it in August?
We started shooting it. We shot it for a month from the second to last week of August to the middle of September. And we shot it in Vancouver, and it was like, it was summer, but it was unusually hot for Vancouver. So we were literally sweating because we were in like coats and cashmere and scarves and gloves. And in between takes, wardrobe would be like giving us ice packs to put under our clothes because it was just, or like portable fans so we weren't melting. And they would like wash down the pavement to make it look like snow has melted. And they had all this flocking and stuff like that. And it was so hot that the water would just evaporate. They just constantly have to be watering it down in between takes.
Yeah, they are incredible at that job. I mean, it used to be there was some terrible winter in Hallmark, but the last few years they've really, I mean, I feel like it's pretty rare that you see something that like, wow, that looks so fake.
And they do such a good job.
Yeah,
they do such a good job with their set deck, and there's so much attention to detail on that. Like every frame has to look perfect, or you're doing it again. And and I appreciate that work ethic because, you know, they want to make something really good for people to enjoy.
Yeah, as long as you don't get dehydrated.
I was like drinking so much water.
You'd have to, because you're going to get a heat stroke in that Vancouver sun.
Totally. And then it would only be cold and rainy on the weekends when we weren't shooting, of course.
Right. And with the new COVID restrictions, what was that like as far as shooting?
So this was my first job during COVID pandemic. And, you know, Hallmark took a lot of precautions. We had safety meetings. We had a doctor on set. We would have temperature checks. We'd be wearing a mask whenever we weren't on camera or eating or drinking. You know, we were driven in separate cars. We were doing everything we could to sort of minimize contact. We didn't shake hands in the movie, or, you know, but still, it was still very natural and warm, those interactions. They did a really good job, and the entire crew were masked the whole time, obviously. And there was lots of hand sanitizer, lots of temperature checks. It seems like when I explain it, it seems like it's really foreign and kind of intrusive. But you know, after like 2 days, you just fall into that rhythm. And if you don't have your mask on, and if you don't have your mask on because you forgot to put it on, there's always like a COVID rep on set, and they'll just very gently remind you to put your mask on or give you a fresh mask. And it takes a little bit of extra time, maybe once your mask comes off, for a touch up for your makeup or your hair. But you know, they're willing to give that time because better to take a little more time and everyone be safe than not.
Yeah, but you felt safe as an actor coming to
Very.
Set and yeah.
Very.
That's good. That's good to hear. Yeah. And did you feel like the script had to get changed at all because of COVID, as far as group scenes or anything like that?
No, I mean, the script was pretty tight, and it was actually it was my first Hallmark movie, but a lot of people who make these films, like the directors, the producers, even some of the actors who are in it who do a lot of those films, actually said this was like one of the strongest scripts they've read. So very little changed. And there was only one crowd scene, and it's outdoors anyways.
Okay.
And we were all kind of spaced apart for like the tree lighting ceremony and stuff like that. No, it felt like it felt really, really safe. And I think they did a really good job. It was actually this production company that I worked with, Novus, on The Christmas Ring. It was their fourth production post-pandemic.
Oh, wow.
So they already had preempted a lot of issues that they had faced in the first three. And so we were able to finish. I think we went over by half a day, which is like pretty amazing.
Yeah, that is incredible.
Yeah.
They gave
And that wasn't a COVID issue either. That was something else.
Oh, really?
That was a locations issue, yeah.
Well, they gave the shoots a little bit longer than normal, I think. You said you had a month?
Well, we had 15 shoot days. So when you count 15 shoot days, then you count pre-production. You're there for a week. So I'm there a month.
And you didn't have to quarantine.
I was actually already in. So I lived in Toronto for many, many years before I moved to LA. So we had decided to come up to Toronto for the kids to go to school. We have two children. Uh-huh. And so I was in Toronto. I arrived in Toronto on August 2nd. And then on August like 16th, the day my quarantine finished, this offer came in and I left 4 days later.
So you didn't audition for the role, you were offered the role?
I was, yeah.
Yeah. That's great. How did they find
it came
you?
Out of the blue. Yeah. It came out of the blue. I mean, I just know it was an incoming call. How did they find me? I don't know. I guess my agent made it known that I was there and I was already in my quarantine, and I actually don't know how they found me.
Yeah, that's great. Well, we're excited to have you in the Hallmark family. This is so fun.
I am so excited to be a part of this family. My mom is a huge Hallmark fan. She watches all the movies. Of course, she watches everything I'm in and everything my husband is in, but she watches all these movies. So she's so thrilled. And, you know, in this story, my character talks a lot about her parents, and the art department asked me if they could use pictures of my actual parents. Uh-huh. So my actual parents are featured in the film quite predominantly, because I'm always showing pictures of the ring, and my mom actually has like a beautiful engagement ring. So, you know, it just worked out that's the case. But here is the kicker. So my mom loves Hallmark movies. My dad and her are in this Hallmark movie. Unfortunately, we lost my father in 2011, but the movie airs on Saturday, November 7th at 10/9 Central. And that would have been my parents' 49th wedding anniversary.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And they're in it. And it's all about finding my mom's engagement ring and feeling close to my parents. So I know. I love it when things like that happen. I love it when the universe opens up itself like that. So it really made me feel like, oh, I'm so glad I did this movie, because I'm so happy to work, obviously. I'm so happy to join a new brand and a new network. But on top of that, you know, we always want to make our parents happy. So I really hope that my mom is happy.
Oh, I'm sure she'll love it. I'm sure of that. I love it when you have like such kismet on things. That's great.
Totally.
Yeah. Well, we like to end our interviews with some fun, silly questions, some holiday questions. So here we go. What?
Bring it on.
Okay. What is your favorite holiday drink?
I would have to say I have two. I don't know if they're traditionally holiday drinks. I like a really good Irish whiskey. Uh-huh. And, you know, I mean, an Irish coffee with uh-huh. whiskey in it. I like an Irish coffee and I like eggnog with spiced rum.
Yeah. Very yeah. good. Okay. What is
also, I really like the Baileys at Christmas time too.
Okay.
Baileys on ice. I mean, yeah, very Christmassy.
You like the cream drinks then?
I do.
Yeah. That sounds good. Okay. What is your favorite holiday cookie or treat?
I love, so my husband is Italian, so we always have panettone at Christmas time, which is this Italian sort of sweet bread with, you know, can have many things in it, but it often has dried fruits and sometimes it has chocolate in it. So we always get these like amazing panettones and we open one up on Christmas and, you know, for breakfast in the morning. So that's my favorite Christmas treat.
That sounds fun. Yeah, that's raisins and stuff like that.
Totally.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. What is your favorite Christmas song or carol?
Blue Christmas, Elvis Presley.
Oh, okay. Good.
Big Elvis fan.
Yeah. Cool.
His album plays all Christmas Day.
Uh-huh. All right. Good. Okay. What is your favorite classic Christmas movie?
You know, I had to think about this one. So I want to say, Die Hard, which is totally a Christmas movie, by the way. I also really love Home Alone.
Yeah. That's one of my favorites, Home Alone. I saw it when I was little. It was the first comedy that I ever really loved. Like that really, really made me laugh. And I still
totally
love it. I think it's so
me too.
Fun.
And I love showing it to my kids.
And with Die Hard, I mean, I don't think that you would have 24 without Die Hard.
Exactly. Right.
Clear. Yeah. It's so good. Okay. What is your favorite holiday tradition every year?
So our favorite holiday, we used to like do traditional stuff, you know, being married to my husband's Italian. So we have like a big Christmas lunch, which like about 6 or 7 courses. But Christmas has since become all about our kids because our son was born on December 24th and our daughter is born on December 26th.
No way.
6 years apart. Yeah. So now our favorite Christmas tradition is just like eating cake and unwrapping all the gifts because it's literally package express, package central in the road to contractor household. Yeah.
Yeah. So you've got you've got two birthdays and Christmas.
And Christmas. Yeah. Week.
Wow. they get double, I guess they get double presents, huh?
You know what? They do get double presents. They do.
That is great. I mean, that must be really fun for those
kids.
It
is fun.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. So which do you like better, Scrooge or the Grinch?
The Grinch.
Okay. Which do you like better, clear lights or colored?
Clear.
Okay. Would you rather be in a snowball fight or build a snowman?
Snowball fight, and I would win.
Okay, good.
Very competitive.
Do you consider yourself a good gift wrapper or not?
I am a terrible gift wrapper. I have to tell you this quick story. Okay. So I used to work at this department store in Canada when I was a teenager. It's called Holt Renfrew, and it's basically like the Saks Fifth Avenue of Canada. Uh-huh. It sells all these super high-end stuff. And we offered, as a courtesy, because, you know, you're buying really expensive designer stuff, gift wrapping. So anytime I would make like a sale and someone wanted a gift wrap, I would just turn to whoever I was, like one of my coworkers, and I'm like, will you gift wrap this for me? If you gift wrapped it for me, whatever I sell in the time that you're gift wrapping, I will put under your commission. That's how bad I was at gift wrapping. I'm like, if someone comes in and spends $10,000 on a purse, it is yours if you gift wrap this, because I cannot gift wrap to save my life. I'm literally like, yeah, my husband does all the wrapping. He's very artistic that way. In many ways, but that way too.
Yeah. I lack the patience. I if I really focus, I can do a good job, but for the most part, I'm just like, let's just get it done.
Yeah. I lack the patience and I lack the precision. Like, let's face it.
Yeah. Right. That's funny. All right. Last question. Do you have an ugly Christmas sweater?
No, all my sweaters are beautiful.
Yeah. You're like, they're not ugly. What's wrong with you? Very good. All right. You passed the test. We're very excited for this Christmas movie. And thanks so much for coming on talking with us. This was so much fun. Really appreciate it. And do you have a social media you'd like to share?
Yes. So I'm at Miss Nazneen Contractor on Instagram and at Miss Naz Contractor on Twitter. So please follow me because I post lots of stuff about my crazy family and whenever I'm on set and whenever I can share stuff about my voiceover stuff, I'll share that too. But I love to take pictures.
Great. Yeah, we'll have all of that in the description section. If you're listening, make sure that you follow Nazneen. And thanks again for coming on the podcast. Really appreciate it. So
thank you so much for having me. Merry Christmas. Merry early Christmas.
That's right. We'd like to thank Nazneen for coming on the podcast. It was so much fun to get to meet her and to talk with her. Let us know your thoughts on all the different things that we talked about. Would love to hear in the comment section or on Twitter. And make sure you're following the podcast, The Homeworkies Pod and Homeworkies Podcast, all over social media. And if you are listening on iTunes, please leave your ratings and reviews. And if you are listening on YouTube, please give this video a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. Appreciate that so much. You can follow me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. So check that out. And also, we have our merch store, which has tons of fun festive designs. And we also have our patron group, which we appreciate so much, the support and help of our patrons. So please take a look at that. All that information is in the description. So thanks again. And we'll talk to you all later. Thanks again to Nazneen. And Merry Christmas, everybody. Bye.